Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that the outcome of that love is peace, joy, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. See, that is the fruit of that. And when you have self-control, you don't get out of control when somebody's mistreating you. That's the idea. You start to live out of your connection with God. If you get disconnected, it's going to fall apart. I was telling them in the last service that, you know, I've seen people come and they get baptized and they get saved. And then, you know, they're all excited and they're coming and they're getting a taste a little bit of being born again and the new creation. Then you wonder where they're at. They're not connected. You find out and you hear things. Oh, yeah. Well, they got hurt or somebody said something or maybe nothing. They just drummed it up in their own mind. That happens a lot. And so they just pull away from the church. See, that's called disconnecting from God. You need the church. You need the family of God. You need God's people. You got to be in a church. You may not like everybody in there, but you got to be there. And when you're in there and you're developing, you start to even like them. Even you don't only love them, you like them. That starts to happen. Isn't that amazing? You got to be in and connected. Because if you're not connected, did you guys read my article? I wrote an article July 5th in the Sidney Daily News. You can look it up online. Read it. One of the things I said in there. I talked about my dad. And I've talked about this before, but I like it. My dad grew vegetables. We lived in Huber Heights. Well, that was like the largest brick community in the United States at the time. And when they built a house, they would put shrubs, and then they had like a gap between the house and the shrubs. And it was a dirt spot. Well, my dad, he planted, you know, he's from Virginia. He planted vegetables in there behind the shrubs. And so one day, we were out there, and my dad said he showed me this big squash plant right when you walked outside the front door. He didn't do this on purpose. This just happened. So out the front door was this squash plant. And he said, now look at this, son. And he showed me. He had a squash plant, and then there was beans, and then there was onions, and then there was radishes, and then there was cucumbers. And then at the end of the house, you turned, and then there was tomatoes, then there was lettuce and peppers and melons, and then look, and then the squash plant, the vine, grew all the way down through the beans, through the onions, through the cucumbers, through the melons, through the tomatoes, and at the end, down the front of the house, down the side of the house, there was a squash, big old squash. Now think about that. It didn't become a bean. It didn't become an onion. It didn't become a cucumber. It didn't become a tomato. It didn't become a pepper. It stayed a squash. See that? Here's what I'm trying to help you see. Doesn't matter what environment you're in. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter who was your daddy and your mama. Doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. What matters is if you are connected to the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you're connected to Him, you're going to become exactly what He created you to be. And you got to be in the church to be connected to Him. Am I making sense? If you're going to become what He put you on this earth to be, you got to get yourself in church. Am I making sense? He's building a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. And everything we're going through, it ain't hell. It's all to get you to mature and to develop into what He created you to be. Right? You're not going to be a bean. You're not going to be a cucumber, right? You're going to be a squash, and you're going to squash the enemy under your feet, right? All those fruit, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, those are manifestations of what you're connected to. If you're not connected to God, You can't produce those. See that? Those only come out of the agape love. And that's what God originally, Adam and Eve was created in, the agape love. And that's what God's trying to get us back to, the garden, to live how he created us. And that's in the agape love. You see that? That's significant. So, we have self-control. So I'm going to have self-control because I'm connected to God, right? I'm not going to wig out. I'm not going to have all these things helping me to get along in life. I'm going to enjoy life, and I'm going to enjoy who I am. Amen? Self-control. You got to watch me. I might start preaching while you're standing there. Think about this. Self-control is, you know, like I said, I went to the gym yesterday, and I didn't want to go. But you know what? Here's what I like about going to the gym. I've never been to the gym and thought, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Every time I go and I'm done, I'm glad. It's like I got energy. I feel good about it. But before, I didn't want to go. I wanted to get me some strawberry cream cheese and a cinnamon bagel, double toasted. Yeah. Some eggs, right? And stay home. But you see, it wasn't discipline. See, here's the thing. Discipline is, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. That's what you say. That's you having discipline. But when the Holy Spirit is in it, it's you just do it because you know it's right. You see that? You have options. When you have options, you still should do the right thing. It's the right thing for me to take care of my body because God has a plan. He's not done with me yet. And so I'm going to have to take care of this body because my body hasn't been redeemed. Did you hear me? My body has not been redeemed. Your soul and your spirit has been redeemed. You are a spirit. You're a spirit. When you look in the mirror, you may be having a good hair day. Big deal. You may be looking a little good. You may think you do. But really, that's not the real you. The real you's on the inside looking out. You're a spirit being. You got to know that. You see that? You are a spirit. Listen, we've been created in the image of God. God is a spirit. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You are a spiritual being, and you have a soul, and you live in a body. So, think about this. Tuesday, I was here at the church, and we had our father's house. The senior ladies come to the father's house, and, you know, I'm a senior too, but, you know, I had a pastor's meeting, and I always like to talk to him, you know. So I was talking to him, and I saw Pam out there talking on the phone, Pam Pollard. She's here today. And I told him, I said, you know, Pam will be here in a minute. You know, there's ladies all sitting around the table. That's what they do. They come, and they worship God, and they have fun, and they have Bible teaching, and they eat. And it's healthy. I mean, there's energy. You can feel energy in there. And so, you know, I'm talking to him, and so she comes while I'm sitting there. And she says, oh, it's a bad day. I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, it's not a bad day, you know, because it's a good day. Because God is good, right? And so, you know, I'm not knocking her. I'm just saying, that's what we all do sometimes, right? And so she says, I said, well, what's wrong? She goes, well, I've been on the phone with this gentleman who used to work for me, and he's in the hospital, and he was wondering if he had compensation for being in the hospital and not being able to come to work, if he could get paid for not coming to work, if they had some kind of benefit, and they didn't have that because they weren't a big corporation. So she was thinking, you know, she was talking to him, but he called her for a reason because he knew she had a little compassion. You know what I mean? So he's talking to her, and he tells her he's in the hospital at the time. They found a tumor that was cancerous, and he was depressed and discouraged and didn't know which way to turn. And he was talking to Pam, and Pam kept saying it's a bad day. You know, she was feeling for him, you know, and that's a healthy thing. So she's in there telling us about this, and I'm thinking in my mind, well, pay attention. He doesn't have cancer. His body does. You see that? And so I start, you know, I said, you know, when it's for us as believers, our God, you know, he's credible. We can tap into him and we can be thankful in every situation we're in. We can really. And then Pam says, Well, here, let me get him on the phone and you preach to him and I'll hold the phone. And she was serious. You know, it's like, okay. Well, I said, I'm not going to do that, but get him on the phone. Well, they got him on the phone and he started talking. You could tell he was depressed and hurting. I just started ministering to him. I started sharing the gospel with him. Good news. I said, you need to be saved. I'm talking to him. Next thing you know, I'm praying with him to receive Christ. And he's weeping. And you know, I looked around, all the ladies were weeping. I was weeping. I could feel God's presence. We're right there and the little phone sitting there on speaker. And we're talking to this man in the hospital who just got a cancerous tumor. You see that? And he said, I could feel it. You listening to me? We have to understand this, that we live in this body. And we're going to go through things in this body that we got to get ruling over and reigning over, or it'll rule and reign over you. You see that? So now we're going to be in touch with him, Pam. We're going to get him some material, and we're going to see how this thing works out. But regardless how it works out, if he doesn't, he's going to heaven, right? If he doesn't get healed of that, he'll go to heaven. But if he does, praise God, right? And I'm believing he can be. Amen? And here's the idea. If he went to heaven, he wouldn't want to come back anyways, right? And now he's in eternity. But now think about it. The most important thing is your salvation. You catching this? That's significant. That's what I'm trying to help you see. That's why God wants you and I to live in the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. We're spiritual beings. You getting that? Christina, give me Romans 8:1. And we are going to look what he says. Here's what I want us to understand. People go through things. They're inconvenienced, adversity, difficulties, right? Problems. And they'll allow those problems and the inconveniences to affect the way they think. And what happens is they'll start condemning themselves because they don't understand. You see, when you don't understand, you'll dream up, you'll confabulate scenarios, ideas, and things about people or your situation that really isn't true. You know, you lie to yourself more than anyone else lies to you. And this is what I'm trying to help us see, because that's what you'll do. But when you understand, see, that's what we're talking about, reigning in life today. When you understand your righteousness, because the righteousness of God was given to you to reign in life. When you reign in life, you're not going to blow a gasket when somebody pulls in front of you. You're not going to blow off on your wife or your husband because they didn't pick up the socks or put the toothpaste away. You're going to love them no matter what. You're going to encourage them and honor them and respect them and edify them, because that's what you're there for. Because when you understand, that's going to help me reign in life, how I'm treating them and how they're treating me. It's going to help me reign in life over all these things that are against me. You're an overcomer. Overcome what? Problems and trouble and difficulties. We all are. Well, you just don't know what I'm going through. We're all going through stuff, right? Everybody, right? All of us. Well, that's the devil. Most of the time it's you. All right. See, when we understand this, we start to reign. And I'm going to tell you what. It's nice when your wife or your husband, you're making this thing. You're doing it, God. You're submitting to your wife. You're serving your wife. What you need, baby? You're serving them. Always serving them. Not finding fault all the time. You hear me? If you don't, why didn't you do? Get that out. We got to grow, right? But when you understand, you're serving each other. You understand God put you there to serve this person, to help them become the best person they can be, the highest version of themselves. That's what you're there for. Are you with me? And when you begin to serve, that's submission. That's submission. Remember, remission is through the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Remission, submission, commission. There's no commission. Commission means God is working with you. He's on your side. He's helping you. We're getting this thing done. If there's no submission, there's no commission. Well, I'm in the Great Commission. We're going to go get them all saved. What's going on at home? How are you treating your wife? Yeah, if you're not serving at home, nothing's going to happen out there. Come on, are you listening to me? Get a hold of this. I'm going to get them all saved. Okay, you go ahead with your bad self. I used to be that way. I wanted to get everybody's. You got to get this thing going at home. Am I making sense? That's too much?
Submission.
See, if you don't submit to the righteousness of God, you're doing your own thing. Making sense? Now, where were we? Look at this. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if we're in Christ, we're walking according to the Spirit. We're being spiritual. That's what you're created for. You catching this? Now look what he says. There's no condemnation. The word condemnation comes from the word damnation. It means sentenced to death. Let me tell you something. You were born in this world sentenced to death because of sin. Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve fell in sin, we all fell in sin. And we all have a death sentence on our lives. Spiritually, because you're spiritual beings. And that means separated from God. There's now no condemnation, no death sentence to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ and you're born again, you no longer have a death sentence on your life. Now you have a life sentence. Now you're born again. Now he declared when you accepted Christ, the day you accepted Christ and repented of your sins and gave your heart to Christ, the gavel came down and all your sins were exonerated, past, present, and future. All of them. The problem is not sin. The problem is understanding and not being informed correctly. When you understand and you're being informed inside, you will know the will of God. You can't know the will of God if you're not being informed. We all are here to do the will of God. And when you begin to do the will of God, now you're being informed. And now you're becoming who God put you here to be. Now think about this. And you're a spirit, right? So he declared you righteous the day you became born again. So now look at this. Give me the next one, verse 2 there. For the law of spirit of life in Christ, Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Those two laws are put in motion by your words. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You see that? You got to get that. And it says, they that love it will eat the fruit of it. So if you love death and you speak death, you're going to get some fruit of it. If you're speaking life, that's why you want to edify your spouse. You want to edify your children. You always want to edify them. It says, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, only that which edifies. Ephesians 4:29. Always edifying your spouse and yourself. Edify yourself. You with me? So now, go with me to Romans 5:17. Condemnation is a death sentence. It means, this is what it means. It means to forfeit. It means not able to live in. It means not able to live. When you condemn a house, they put a sign up, unfit to live in. You're trying to get this house you live in fit, right? Right? You're living in a body. Are we making sense? So now think about this. For by the one man's offense, death reigned through one. That's Adam. Death, separation from God, death sentence. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will what? Reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. God gave you a gift of righteousness the day you got born again. He took your sin and he put his righteousness on you. You see that? He became sin that you would become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin that you would become the righteousness of God. You see that? He took all your everything. So that's why we need to put everything we have into understanding him and following him. Are you with me? When you know you're righteous, you start loving yourself. You see that? I know I'm generous. I'm not being prideful. It takes humility to see yourself the way God sees you. I know that I'm encouraging. I know that I'm going to edify people. I know that about me, and I'm going to do it. You're not going to get around me, and I'm going to talk negative about people. I don't do that. I'm just trying to help you see. We're here to edify people. When you know that about yourself, you begin to appreciate who you are. Now you can treat people that way, and they will appreciate you. If they don't appreciate you, it's because you don't appreciate yourself. If they keep mistreating you all the time, did you hear me? Guess what? It's probably because you don't have a good view of who you are. Catching this? Now think about this. Righteous. No matter what you do, you can't change that if you've been born again. I know people who committed murder. I visited them on death row and ministered to them in prisons. I used to preach in prisons all over Ohio. And I'm telling you, I've been in the maximum security prisons. And you can feel it in there. You understand what I'm saying? But I was there to preach the good news, the gospel. And so I would get calls from prisons all over Ohio to come preach because I was doing this evangelist thing. I'm trying to help you see, because they committed a crime, they did that out of their ignorance. Because I talked to people who were on death row who accepted Jesus and went to jail. You hear me? Because they never stayed in church long enough to discover who they were and their true righteousness. When you understand that, you're not going to get mad and go get run away from the church and get your marbles and go home. I got to stay in church. You're going to have people who hurt you all the time. See, we need to get rid of this need to be liked. That's not from God. You see that? God will bring the right people in your life. You understanding me? This is huge. When you understand this, that you're righteous, your value comes up. You don't want to do anything to contaminate that connection with God. You see this? Now, I remember when I used to get in moods. I talked about this a little last week. Before I became a believer, I would get in moods. Anybody ever get in moods? I would get in moods and I'd get quiet. Oh, he's in a mood. You know what you do when you're in a mood? You're lying to yourself. You're believing a lie. You're believing something that's not true. You're believing something about a situation, a circumstance, or whatever that is a lie. And you confabulated all the stuff that isn't even true. And now you're being manipulated by it in your own head. Your moods, you can do that your entire life. Your moods will control you and manipulate you. And God can't use you in those moods. God won't use you. You see, when you get in those moods, oh, it was tough at work today. You know, just be quiet. They're in a mood. Here's the thing. When you understand your assignment and your righteousness, you go to work and what used to put you in a mood, don't have it anymore. You go there and that boss that's breathing down your neck all the time, you start praying for him. You start loving him because you know who you are. You appreciate him. You don't really understand everything that's going on at home, but you know it's not good because of how he's treating you. And you know that the way he's treating you is he don't know who he is yet, but you're going to help him by loving him and giving him mercy and grace. You see that? And so I'm not going to bring that home at the dinner table. You see that? I remember when I was at Miles Laboratories, I would tell him everything that was going on. I had this guy who was constantly, on me all the time. He knew I was a believer. He knew all that. But he would write stuff in the log, lies about how I left this up, and just constantly with all this stuff. And I would come home to the dinner table, and I would pray, for him. And I remember my son went, "Daddy, isn't he the one that you keep telling us to do this and do that?" I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, why are you praying for him?" Well, the Bible says we're to bless those who persecute us and despitefully use us. And we're to pray for him. He goes, "Oh." And then we went to bed that night. I put him to bed. He prayed for him. You see that? He called his name up. And now he's praying for him. He's catching it, see? And that's the way we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to see that they're against me. They don't even understand. They don't understand one thing about the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They don't understand the spiritual things. And you, how they're treating you, you're accusing them of something they don't even have the ability to do to treat you right. Am I making sense? So when you begin to understand this and you're righteous, you're not going to be hurt anymore. You're going to be able to stay connected to the vine because of the love of God. And you're not going to want to get away from it because it tastes too good. So are we making sense? This is significant, folks. And this is what happens. We get in these moods and they control us. That's not acceptable with God because you're lying to yourself. That's important. Christina, give me Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, oh man. He's talking to all of us. Whoever you are, who what? Judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn who? You send yourself a death sentence. The life that God's trying to redeem, the area of your life God's to redeem, you're judging somebody. And what you're judging them about, trying to redeem that in you. He can't redeem that in you because you're judging it. So you send your own death sentence. Did you get that? That's why it's so important not to judge people. I don't care who you are. You come in here, you're not going to get judged by me. And if I hear you, any of you judging them, I'm going to let you know you need to stop that. Because when you judge somebody, you bring a mess on yourself.
Well, they're supposed to be a Christian.
So are you. Well, if you're always looking for faults, and you know, the word fault comes from the word fault line. It's below the surface. Some people are always looking for something that's below the surface. I know what they're up to. See, now you're confabulating. You don't know what they're up to. You don't know who they are, and you start judging them. You start lying to yourself. Are we making sense? Another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same thing. Right? What'd Jesus say? He said, get the log out of your own eye. Take the telephone pole out of your own eye. And one translation says it that way. You got a big old telephone pole in your eye, and you're trying to say this person needs to, you know? Does that make sense? Get it out of there, right? You know why? You know what that has to do with? Vision. God wants you to see people the way he sees people. And when you begin to do that, it helps you. Let's go to... See, when you know you're righteous, you're not going to judge nobody. You're just not. You know God has given you mercy. And you know you. You know where you used to be, right? I've already told you where I used to be. I was drinking in the sixth grade before Christ, trying to medicate all my pain and all the stuff I was going through. That's not going to fly, right? But when you become righteous, you don't want to medicate anything because you want this fellowship with God. It's too good. Amen? So now let's look at this. Go with me to, I gotta get this. In Romans 5, you don't need to go there, Christina, but I'm going to just, you can look it up later. It says this. We glory in tribulations. It's in, you'll find it in Romans 5, verse 1 through 5. We glory. Remember, what's glory mean? God originated and intended. What God originated and intended, we glory in tribulations. What's the word tribulation? Trouble. Trouble. So we glory in tribulations. Glory is what God originated and intended. What God originated and intended your life to be comes out through trouble. There's got to be trouble to bring it out of you. Because you're not going to bring it out on your own. You got to have trouble. Difficulty, adversity, afflictions. Bring it out of you. You hear me? He says, we glory what God originally intended in tribulations. Knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God has taken the trouble you're going through, and he's wanting you to depend on him to get you to get through the trouble. And when you depend on him, now you get to the glory. You get to the glory, you see? What God originated and intended. You see that? And it's always better, but he's developing character in you in the trouble.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.